T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's the name of this band?
I forget.
Yeah, LMFAO.
Isn't it like Run DMC's son? Isn't there somebody's son in this?
Yeah, somebody's son. I'm not sure who, but somebody's.
Well, I'm sure. Technically, it's got to be somebody's son. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I think the other guy is like his nephew or something.
Okay. Jeff, get on that. You're supposed to know this stuff. You're our DJ. Vaga Rebel Friday. NBA draft was last night. Time to go to the BetQL guest line presented by the BetQL Network. Wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. It's sports betting tips from the best in the game. Streaming now on Odyssey. Time to talk to our friend, Mr. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington. You can follow him at Chase Hughes, NBCS. Chase, what'd you think of last night's draft, dude? Let's start big picture.
Well, big picture, I'm still processing how the number one pick was kept under wraps for as long as it was. I mean, yeah. I've never seen anything like that, at least in the NBA draft. Like, sometimes, you know, in the NFL draft, if there's no quarterback that everyone knows is going to be the number one pick, there's a little bit of mystery. But in the NBA, it's usually forecasted well in advance. And in this case, the betting market started moving the night before for Paolo Banchero, and ultimately he was the number one pick. Even Woj got fooled. That was shocking to me. And, of course, there were a lot of trades. There were some surprise picks. Jaden Ivey going fifth to the Pistons. But I'd have to hone in on the number one being a surprise.
How about number two?
Well, for the record, that's who I said I would take number one. Everybody else wanted Jabari Smith.
Cool. But I think Jabari Smith may end up having as good a career as anybody. I don't know about Chet with his little skinny self. Yeah, you feel that Chet was the proper guy over Jabari?
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, if Banchero goes one, maybe the Thunder would take Jabari Smith Jr. Because they needed a big man. I mean, obviously Chet Holmgren is that, but they ended up going with Holmgren. And, you know, it fits the Thunder's MO. They've been trying to get players that are basically very large to their position, have versatile skill sets, that can shoot, that can defend. They're a team that's trying to build it from the ground up with defense as a major focus, and they got a guy who was historically good blocking shots in college. And it's because, you know, I give Kevin Durant a lot of credit for changing the big man position in the NBA. Ever since Kevin Durant, you see a lot of big who want to, you know, break defenses down off the dribble and shoot from three. Chet Holmgren's kind of following in his footsteps, and here he is, just like Durant was, the number two pick for the same franchise.
The Thunder went 24-58 last year. I'm not sure they should have an MO. They might need to reevaluate their MO. But whatever.
That's fair.
So obviously Smith falling to three. I feel like Houston probably is thrilled they got Jabari Smith at three. Anybody that watched him at Auburn. What about the Iowa guy, Keegan Murray, going ahead of Jaden Ivey? Because everything I had heard was there's a top three, then Ivey, then it falls off a lot. Were you pretty shocked that Sacramento went with Keegan Murray instead of Jaden Ivey?
I was. I think that is going to age very terribly for them. I saw this graphic the day of the draft where it was like the history of the Kings being one pick away from greatness. It was like they picked, I think it was Jimmer Fredette right ahead of Klay Thompson. And there were like three or four examples of that. And this, I mean, nothing against Keegan Murray. I think he's a very good player, but this might go down just like that because you had the Detroit Pistons picking right behind them. And in charge of the Pistons is Troy Weaver, big Commanders fan, by the way. He's from D.C. And he was the guy in Oklahoma City who had the eye for talent, who picked, you know, or helped them pick Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And now you have Jaden Ivey fall to him, and Jaden Ivey can play alongside Cade Cunningham. And Jaden Ivey's probably the best athlete in the draft. Extremely explosive is a 6'4 combo guard. I think he's perfect for the Pistons. And Keegan Murray is 22 years old, or he's going to be 22 on opening night. He turns 22 in August. And he's, you know, a well-rounded player, but doesn't have nearly the ceiling of Jaden Ivey.
Did the Wiz get it right?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think they had a lot of good options at 10. It was a pretty deep draft, but I think what they did is they picked a guy who can help on the defensive end, and that's really
there
important.
You go.
You know, it was kind of like, which did you want to address with that pick? Was the defense or three-point shooting? They were 25th in defense, 30th in three-point shooting. They got to fix both things this offseason, but they weren't going to be able to find both of those things in the same player, so they went with defense. And a guy who can create his
Chase, we lost you there. You there,
buddy? Can you hear me?
Yeah. You cut out for a minute. So tell us again. So you think the Wiz made the right pick because Davis can help him defensively. Lord knows they need more defense.
Yeah. I think he would.
All right, let's put him on hold. Jeff, or Landfill, see if you can talk to him and tell him to stand still or something because he's cutting in and out. That was kind of your point, B, is that, I mean, anybody that watches Wizards games like you and I both do, I've seen them give up 75.5. Like,
that's not good.
You got to play more D. But I'm curious where Johnny fits in. Chase, we got you back. Is he a starter right away? Because what position does he play?
I don't think he's a starter right away because I think his short-term position is Bradley Beal's short-term position.
That's kind of what I was wondering, yeah.
Shooting guard, yeah. And they've said that he can play some point. I think time will tell on that. You know, he wasn't a point guard in college, and he had a little bit of problems with controlling the ball. You know, he had some turnover issues. So I think maybe long term he can play some point, but I think he projects as the backup two guard right now.
All right. And so here's my thing. It's the 10th pick in the NBA draft.
You pick somebody that could come in and start.
And you picked a backup? Like I like Johnny Davis as a player, certainly. I watched enough Wisconsin. He's got real heart, and I think this team can use that. But like, all the dudes they pick always seem to be like complimentary. You know what I mean? And maybe there wasn't a home run pitch to swing at. Like I recognize that the kid that you and DA talked me into was Dyson Daniels, and he went 8th, so they couldn't get there. And then I think that guy Sochan that went 9th. Is going to drive everybody crazy, but is going to be really useful in the NBA. I liked Mathurin, the Arizona guy, a lot, but like, it's the 10th pick overall, and did they draft a backup? Like, fundamentally, doesn't that seem flawed?
Well, I think I was among the people who thought, well, could they swing for the fences with this pick? You know, they've picked kind of guys with high floors and sort of safe picks.
Right, I feel like it's been a lot of safety.
Yeah, I mean, Denny Avdia, I would say, is a little bit more of a home run swing because I think he's got some athletic potential. He's very big for his skill set. But, yeah, I mean, the question for Johnny Davis would be his ceiling. And I think if he could become a good three-point shooter, then maybe he'll prove a lot of people wrong. But certainly this does seem like a high-floor, like plug-and-play type guy where, you know, he can get a rotation spot immediately and – you know, maybe doesn't have the same chance to be a star 4 or 5 years from now, but you're pretty certain that he's going to be pretty good.
We're still all under the assumption that Beal's coming back and going to sign the massive deal, right?
Yeah. I think that he's suggested he's leaning that way multiple times, and there's just pretty much a consensus around the league he can't turn down that money.
Yeah, you know I'm going to lean when you got $250 million being offered.
Yeah, $250 million.
Lean right in that direction.
Yeah, hell yeah. I would lean in that direction. Let the Live Tour know I'm available. But what are we looking at as like the starting five next season?
Well, they still need to find a starting point guard. They're going to go into free agency and the trade market and try to find that. So right now, kind of TBD at point, Bradley Beal is the 2. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the 3, Kyle Kuzma is the 4, and Kristaps Porzingis is the 5.
Okay. All right. And we kind of sleep on Porzingis. If he can stay healthy, I mean, that guy.
He's a unicorn.
Can be a monster, right? I look at the Wiz as a best case six seed. Like, best case, they avoid the play-in tournament. Am I being overly critical?
I think as of now, yeah, you're probably looking at a lower playoff seed. You know, the Eastern Conference is deeper and better at the top than it's been in quite a while, so you got to navigate that. Last year, it took a winning record just to make the play-in tournament, when 2 years before that, the Wizards were the 10th seed in the East, and it was right before the play-in tournament was installed, but they were like 20 games under 500, and they would have made the postseason. So it's a different landscape now. But I will say, this team's probably going to make some substantial changes in the next few weeks. So you can't really judge what they're going to look like on opening night right now, because last year they flipped half their roster. I don't think they're going to do that again, because they already made some trades at the deadline, like Porzingis, I think, factored into, you know, their off-season changes. But certainly they're probably going to add, I would guess, 3 or 4 players to the rotation one way or another in the next few weeks.
Give us a little preview.
Are we going to look more like a contender or a pretender?
I think they're going to try to be pretty aggressive in the trade market. Free agency, you know, it's not really going to happen. The options and the financial resources and aren't there, and of course they haven't had a great history with free agency, but there might be some stars available. Maybe they can put together the right trade package, but you know, they tried to trade up last night. They've kind of balked.
Did they?
High asking
prices. Can you tell us a little bit of that? Were they trying move up?
Yeah, they wanted to trade up, I think, for Jaden Ivey, and I think they considered trading up for Dyson Daniels. And, you know, Tommy Shepard was asked about just moving up generally afterwards, and he said they did everything they could to try to move up. So I think the asking price was just astronomical. It was probably, I guess, you know, 3 first-round picks, you know, for instance, to go up to 4, and that's not something the Wizards wanted to do. But I was kind of arguing throughout that debate, it's like, well, if you're going to trade 3 first-round picks for Jaden Ivey, who I love as a prospect but is ultimately an unproven commodity, that's not far off from what it might take to get a proven star who would immediately elevate your team to maybe the second round and maybe beyond. So maybe that's something they could consider, is just like maybe put a little bit more into that pot and try to trade for someone who's more established, who would fit Bradley Beal's competitive timeline a little better.
What? I mean, to your point, to that point, like, they got to know they got to do something. Because when your best case scenario, best case is a guy with a career track record of getting hurt in Porzingis, you're hoping he stays healthy and maybe you get a 6 seed or a 5 seed. Like, you know you got to do something here. Last night they chose not to. They stood pat and drafted a good player. How aggressive do you think they could be in the coming weeks? Like, who are names or targets? Bemich and I were talking about this yesterday, and this is perhaps complete tomfoolery to speculate. But, like, how good would Beal be next to Kyrie? You need a veteran point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of them.
Yeah, well, Kyrie Irving, I mean, obviously, tremendous scorer. And I think, yeah, it would be really fun if he played next to Bradley Beal. But he's kind of already signaled the teams that he's interested in. You know, he can opt out and become a free agent. And, you know, the Wizards weren't on that list. It was like the Lakers, Knicks, Sixers, the Mavericks were one of those teams. So I don't know if that's a
you can't play Kyrie
possibility.
With Luka. That doesn't work.
That's too much.
I think it could work. I think it could work pretty well, actually.
They both don't play defense.
They both want the ball.
And they both don't play defense.
Yeah, but they have a lot of defensive pieces. They were 6th in defense last year, so I think maybe they could still overcome that, depending on who else is on the floor. But, yeah, I think he'd be better in New York or L.A. I don't have a good idea with, you know, we've already seen him play with James Harden in Brooklyn. It didn't work out, or at least they weren't able to stay on the court. But I think at a minimum, you got to look at, like, players like Malcolm Brogdon and some of the point guards who could be available for the Wizards to trade for. And if they really want to, you know, swing for the fences, maybe if the Utah Jazz blow it up, maybe you make a call about Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. I think that would be interesting for them. So it kind of depends on who becomes available. But the Wizards, while they've kind of entertained ideas like that in the past, you know, trading for stars, they haven't really done it. I mean, Russell Westbrook obviously was a big star, but his stock was kind of low, and that was sort of a deal where you're trying to get rid of John Wall's contract. If they go to those links, they haven't really done that yet. But I'm interested to see, if you sign Bradley Beal going to his age 29 season to that amount of money, I'm interested to see what type of urgency does that just naturally bring to the front office to do something big.
But let me ask you a question, Chase. Ochai Agbaji is somebody that came
That's your guy.
When you started talking. But I see him listed as a forward. I thought he played guard. And why did they go with Davis over him? Because of the point guard stuff?
Yeah, I think defensively they like Johnny Davis, what he can do. I mean, Ochai Agbaji, from what I heard, had a really impressive workout for the Wizards, and he's a big-time shooter. Maybe there was some overlap with Corey Kispert, but I think they also saw Johnny Davis maybe having a little more upside because he's 2 years younger. That would be my guess on why they picked him. And also the fact that while Agbaji could move, you know, between the two and the three, maybe Johnny Davis could give you more at the point guard position down the road. So maybe that was just more of a need for them. And again, the upside given his age.
Right. Lastly, have you read Jahan Dotson's letter to Commanders fans yet?
I have not read it.
Actually, what was your where were you last night? Like, how late did you have to work last night? What was your night like?
I think I left Capital One Arena at like 2 a.m., which it's pretty late, but I've had much later nights than that.
So, I mean, I know.
But that's when you were in the club, though, Chase. I'm just saying.
Well, hey, I've covered playoff baseball games that went 18 innings long. Those are the nights where you leave at like 5 a.m.
That's crazy.
God, I remember that game. Who? What was that series? And it was really cold, right?
Yeah, it was the Giants and the Nationals 2014 NLDS. Yes, it was very cold and very windy, and the windows were kept open in the press box.
Oh, man. Like, whenever I have to work a Monday night game or a Thursday night game or whatever, I know I'm not getting home till 3 in the morning, and it's a drag. So, dude, appreciate you coming on this morning. You probably just woke up.
JP, I'm going to buy you a beer.
Tell me a little bit about the second rounder, because I saw you had a story about that he's a pretty intriguing prospect.
Yeah, so a year ago, he was in like the early mock drafts. Yannick Sosa, he was projected to be a first-round pick. And some people had him top 10 because he's like 6'10", 6'11". He's very quick baseline to baseline. Has a huge wingspan. Has a lot of the natural ability blocking shots. He was actually compared to Giannis. Now, that was in the very early mock drafts. He then played in Liga ACB and didn't perform very well. He only averaged like 2 points and two rebounds. He blocked shots, but shot a really low percentage. He was playing, I think he was 17 last season, playing against grown men. So it's just basically, Tommy Shepard compared it to a raffle ticket. You know, you see what you have in like 3-4 years. I think if he had continued to develop in the professional league, maybe 2 years from now, he'd be, you know, a first-round pick. So the Wizards are going to keep him in Europe and see what they have in a couple years.
How does that work? You just hold their rights forever?
You hold their rights for, I think it's like 4 years, and you can trade them, you can keep them over there, you can try to bring them over. They did that with Thomas Satoransky. A bunch of teams have done it. There's been some success stories, like Nikola Jokic, who just won his second MVP. He was that type of guy for another year. A ton of athletic potential and talent, just as raw as an NBA prospect can be.
It's crazy. It's a crazy league. If they are going to you bring up Donovan Mitchell, I think that would be incredible, right? Or Gobert, too. But I think Mitchell and Beal would at least be super fun to watch. If they are going to try to get active in the trade market, what chips do they have? I mean, you got picks, but like, would they have to move some of their own players, right?
Well, they've got some young players I think would interest other teams, like Denny Avdia and Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura, by the way, only 1 year left on his rookie deal, so he's going to get a raise. But the guy I would point to is Kyle Kuzma. He's going to make $13 million next year, but it's a contract year, and his salary might double after that. And he's an ascending player. He's 26. I think he could be, you know, something close to an all-star. Yeah, so it might be a situation where you sell high and, you know, maybe attach a first-round pick and a young player, and you get something back that's pretty substantial.
Could Kuz in a first get Donovan Mitchell?
No. I think Kuzma, Avdija, and maybe two first gets them to pick up the phone. But, hey, you know, teams have done those types of trades.
I'd also be fine with that.
Those Mitchell guys are expensive, man.
They sure are.
That's a good one. Bring D-Mitch here.
Yeah. That's it.
B-Mitch and D-Mitch. Chase, thank you for the time, bro. Any stories you want to point out or anything? Everybody should follow you at it. Chase Hughes, NBCS.
Yeah, just check out our draft coverage, Johnny Davis, and you know they're going to have a summer league mini camp next week, so lots of coverage from that as well.
Very cool. We appreciate you, buddy. Get some rest.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good weekend.
Make sure you let everybody know where they can find it. Jahan Dawson, I'm getting texts about it.
I will. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington. You can follow him at Chase Hughes, NBCS. 11:45, we're talking to Jason Epstein. High noon. Got to talk training camp and perhaps a new name for the facility.
I've already told you what it was.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.